Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to another service from Unity Center of Light, from our home to your home. We look forward to bringing this to you today, and we want to remind you right from the beginning to remember to come into our Zoom service, Zoom fellowship service right after this. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pam Mosby.
And we are going to get started today with Pamela.
Thank you. Good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. And let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. Now let's affirm our foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. Now we'll have our daily word reading for today, Sunday, May 23rd. The key word is faith, and the affirmation is, my faith keeps me focused on God. I may not be able to control what goes on around me, but I am always free to choose what happens within me. My perception determines my experience. I begin with faith. I choose to see the vibrant wholeness that is present even during illness. I open my heart and mind to the harmony that I know is possible even in the midst of apparent discord. When my needs appear greater than my resources, I remind myself all supply springs forth from the inexhaustible well of divine substance. I am reassured by remembering all situations are temporary, and God is greater than every circumstance. Through my faith, I align my thoughts with the divine and believe in this truth that sets me free. And the scripture reading is taken from Luke 17:6. If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Amen. And now we will have the message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So today we are doing part five of this series, To Heal is to Correct Our Perception. To heal is to correct our perception. And the subtitle that we're going to be working with today is, Can You Affirm There Is No Resistance in Me? Now think about that. Can you confirm that there is no resistance in me? Now, of course, that's an open-ended question, meaning it really can't be answered with a simple yes or no, because it requires some reflection and contemplation. And that's what, you know, all of these lessons are really about. They're designed to elicit reflection and contemplation. We need to really think about these ideas when we're talking about the spiritual aspect of ourselves. And if you think, you know, we're complex individuals who are wading through our own complexity to get to the simple truth, which is, I am a divine son, I am a divine daughter of the living God. Believing that and living from that truth is where our resistance lies. That's where we're not really completely convinced of that. Even though we may feel we're not being resistant and that we are really open and receptive to God's living spirit of truth. So our work is to cut through the complexity that keeps us resistant to the truth of who we truly are, all right? And that complexity really comes, the complexity comes up from the fact of our everyday lives. Stuff is always happening that's challenging us or challenging our belief system that we are truly one with Spirit, and Spirit is in charge of our life and affairs. And we can hold on to that at times, but there are other times when I say that complexity comes up and we're like, I don't really know, all right? But our salvation is remembering that we are working. As we are working, God is working also. That's sort of the salvation for us, is realizing that as I am working, God is working also. Now, as we read in Hebrews 4, 12 through 13, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing through the division of our soul and spirit, of our body and mind, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of our heart. Okay? So that's the concept of God is working as we are working, all right? And even when we can't really be sure where we are from a spiritual standpoint, this divine spirit that's always working through us is helping us to make that or come to that understanding. That's why we always want to be listening for that inner guidance. So as God is working to pierce through our resistance, we also must be working and doing our part. So how do we do that? You know, how do we do our part? Well, I may have already mentioned this in this series or another series, the idea of approaching life from a philosophical mindset. Okay. Now, the thesaurus explains that living from a philosophical mindset means that you may you meet trouble, but you meet that trouble with a level-headed detachment. Okay. Now, the concept of detachment being the ability to be in the experience without becoming entangled in the drama of the experience. So how does one accomplish that? The idea is to become a conscious observer rather than just an unconscious participant. It is sort of like saying to yourself, here I am in this experience, right? But not confounded by it. Rather, I am observing my own reactions, thoughts, feelings, and behaviors, listening quietly to hear and understand what I am feeling and why I am feeling this way. Okay? So the concept of detachment is to develop through daily practice a state of mind in which you do not become twisted up in fear and worry about what is occurring in your life. Right? Again, easier said than done. But we're going to keep talking about some tools through this lesson in terms of how to do that. So in this state of mind, we are more likely to hear our soul's answers to the questions we are asking. Because we're always asking questions. It's always kind of a, why is this happening? Why is this going on? Why aren't I getting what I'm praying for? There's always some kind of a why question we are asking, consciously or unconsciously. But what we may not be doing, because we're so caught up in the asking of the question, possibly from a fearful standpoint, that we're not hearing the answers that we're getting from our soul. Okay, so detachment doesn't mean you do not care, and that's important. Detachment doesn't mean you do not care. Rather, it's being open to receiving clarity, guidance, and a sense of divine direction. So the purpose of the philosophical approach is to put us in a mindset in which we can ask our soul better questions and then listen quietly, calmly for the answer that will help us expand our conscious awareness about why we are experiencing what we're experiencing. Okay? So again, I just want to emphasize that this idea of detachment doesn't mean you don't care. Okay? It's just coming at life from a whole different mindset. And what we're seeking in our spiritual journey is the deeper truth behind our physical experiences. All right? Even as you heard me say with the whole pandemic and everything we're going through right now, there's a deeper truth in all of this, okay? And it is in this search that we will discover the why and the what that causes us to be resistant to living from the truth, okay? Now, the question you might keep coming up in your mind is, what is the truth? The truth being the divine presence is always present and active in my life and affairs. That's the truth. The truth is the divine presence is always present and active in my life and affairs. Now, the revealing word explains that truth abides in fullness at the very core of our being. And as our consciousness expands, we touch the everlasting truth. What seems new to us is but the unveiling of that which has always been within us. Okay, so our spiritual mission, should we choose to accept it, I think that's a mission impossible thing, right, is to do the work necessary to transcend the resistance that keeps us from the truth that abides innately within us. Okay, now, we do not need to ask why something is happening in our lives. We just need to be still, non-resistant, quietly observing ourselves and what we are thinking, what we are feeling, and how we are behaving. All right? So that's sort of the practice of detachment. Instead of getting wrapped up in what's going on, you're being still and you're listening in a non-resistant way, right? Quietly observing yourself, you know, and quietly observing myself and, you know, trying to understand, what am I thinking? What am I feeling? What am I behaving? Now, let's call this quiet observation. Okay, so this quiet observation allows the Holy Spirit to infiltrate and clean up our fear and resistance. All right, so let me say that again. This practice of quiet observation, which we are saying is the extension of detachment. So this quiet observation allows the Holy Spirit to infiltrate and clean up our fear and resistance. Okay? Now, as one of the definitions for observation explains, we want to get to a place in our mind, body, and spirit where we are able to take a patient look at ourselves, our life, and what we are experiencing, while listening for divine guidance, okay? Hopefully that all made sense, because that's sort of the path that we're looking at. Anyway, these are just some reflections to engage us in deeper thought about ourselves, right? Those ideas I was just sharing. We will explore them more deeply in today's Bible interpretation, okay? And today's lesson is a continuation of the lessons from May 2nd and May 16th. I'm emphasizing that because some folks said that last week they were a little lost because they didn't realize I was moving on or expanding on the one from May 2nd. So this one is expansion on May 2nd and May 16th. So let's look to Scripture to gain a greater understanding of the nature of our consciousness and how to evolve to a point where we're capable of taking a patient, non-resistant look at ourselves from the perspective of this idea of quiet observation. And again, we're working from the premise that the Bible is an explanation of the evolution of human consciousness from the first Adam to the last Adam, okay? And if you're first time you're hearing me say that, the last Adam, of course, is Jesus. So again, meaning from Adam who fell into a dream of being separate from God, separate from the true reality, to Jesus who said, I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth, all right? And also said in John 8:31, if you hold to my teachings, again, this is a verse you're very familiar with, John 8:31, if you hold to my teachings, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What we're learning in this lesson is that the truth will set us free from our resistance to living from the truth, all right? Now, meaning free of the consciousness which keeps you from being able to perceive what is truly true in your life, what is truly true in your affairs. You know, why are these things happening? When you stop and listen in that mode of quiet observation, you begin to get clarity about what is happening in your life and what your life experience is all about. So the scripture we'll look at this week continues from last week's investigation into the meaning of Jacob's journey. Okay, now last week we talked about Jacob going to Haran to take a wife in obedience to his father Isaac's wishes. That's what his father said to him. I want you to go to Haran and take a wife. All right. Now Haran, let's go over that again, is symbolic of an exalted state of mind wherein truth is lifted up in consciousness and the individual is strengthened in his or her determination to go on toward fuller spiritual enlightenment and upliftment, okay? So that's the definition we've been working with for the last couple of weeks. Also remember that metaphysically, the taking of a wife represents the unification of your I am with your feeling and emotions. Your I am is your spiritual self, what we might call the Christ self, okay? And your spiritual self is that within you that has direct connection, direct contact. It connects your mind directly with God mind, right? And this is, it's always connecting your mind with God mind. It's whether or not you're through fear, you are constantly breaking that connection. And so that's why we want to be careful with our thoughts, because our thoughts can interfere with that divine connection we have. And this divine connection grows in strength, becomes strengthened through prayer and meditation. So if you're saying to yourself, well, how can I make that connection between my mind and God's mind stronger? It's strengthened through prayer and meditation. So in the context of this story, we're on an inner journey to unite our spiritual self with our feelings and emotions. Or we can turn that around and say we're looking to connect our feelings and emotions with our spiritual self. Now, in Genesis 29, we find Jacob coming into Haran where he sees Rachel for the first time. Now, just follow me with this, okay? Rachel is the daughter of Jacob's mother's brother, Laban. Okay, let me say that again, all right? Rachel is the daughter of Jacob's mother's brother. So Jacob's uncle, all right, is Rachel's father. That means Rachel is Jacob's first cousin. So even though this idea of Jacob marrying Rachel on a physical level doesn't sound kosher, right? On a metaphysical level, we have to remember that all the characters in the Bible have names that are symbolic of some aspect of the evolving nature of our consciousness. That is why it is so important to look at the Bible metaphysically instead of literally, okay? Because you can't get all of the essence of what this story is trying to tell you just by looking at the story itself. So therefore, the marriage of coming together of Jacob and Rachel symbolizes the close relationship of the elements of our consciousness that are necessary for our spiritual growth and development. All right? So when Jacob first saw Rachel, she was herding his father's sheep to the waterhole. All right? Now, metaphysically, Rachel symbolizes the feminine receptive phase of the pure natural life. Okay, the pure natural life is a state of consciousness where there is no pretense, no doubt, no fear, no worry. It's almost, as I'm saying this, it makes me reflect back to this, when Jesus says, unless you become like a child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Because when you talk about the pure life, where there's no pretense, no doubt, no fear, no worry, right now you say the only one that I can think of is the mind of a child. So that's why Jesus said, unless you become like a child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You come like a child means to enter to the consciousness of the pure natural life. Okay. So just the quiet acceptance of truth principles working in our life and affairs, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for just the quiet acceptance of truth principles working in our life and affairs. So Jacob, as we know, represents the mental or intellectual phase of consciousness. That's what we talked about in the last couple of weeks. Jacob's attraction to Rachel is symbolic of our mental self seeking to add the feminine receptive quality to itself. Okay, so our mental self is trying to add this feminine receptive quality to itself. This is symbolic of consciousness seeking to establish balance between the divine masculine and the divine feminine, thus creating a state of wholeness between body, mind, and spirit. Okay, so here's a further explanation of this. Okay. So Jacob characterizes an overly developed intellect, and that's important. Jacob characterizes an overly developed intellect, which was illustrated in the scheme he devised with his mother to rob Esau of his birthright. Okay? But Jacob's journey towards the east, Haran, symbolizes the illumined intellect striving to penetrate deeper into the inner spiritual consciousness. Right? So the mental Jacob knew he had to find an inner balance because wisdom acting without love is out of balance. Okay, and again, if we think about Joseph and Mary, who produced the Christ consciousness, Joseph represented wisdom, Mary represented love. Those two working together produced the Christ idea. Right? So the fact that Rachel was herding sheep when Jacob first saw her is significant in that sheep, again, represent the natural life that flows into our consciousness from spirit. The sheep symbolize that the natural life is pure, innocent, gentle. So if Jacob was moving towards an exalted state of mind, Haran, wherein truth is lifted up in consciousness, and we are strengthened in our determination to go forward with more fuller spiritual enlightenment and upliftment, okay? That's the whole process of this Jacob-Rachel idea. Jacob is remember, he was the overactive intellect, but he's in his movement towards becoming more spiritual. He's trying to add the natural life, something that's more gentle and open, receptive, you know, as we would say, to God's living spirit of truth, okay? So again, he needed to take to himself that feminine, that open, receptive phase of the pure natural life. He needed something that could tend to the sheep and keep them safe, meaning the gentle, innocent thoughts in his own mind. So what Rachel represented for him and all of us is when we get those, you know, tend to the sheep, as we have the, I would say, let's say more likely than not, we have these gentle thoughts, okay, these gentle, innocent thoughts in our mind. But then, you know, as the purpose of the shepherd is to keep the wolves away from the sheep, right? The wolves for us are all the negative energy that surrounds us that we allow to get into our mind that destroys the sheep or the gentle thoughts in our mind. So that's the reason why the intellect has to connect itself with something that is gentle and has the ability to also help us maintain our gentleness. So as the story goes on, Laban, Rachel's father, wanted Jacob to work for him for 7 years to earn Rachel's hand in marriage. And some of the guys out there, just think about it, that if the one you're married to now, if their father said that to you, right, you got to work for 7 years. Right? I think I did 6 years. Yeah. I did 6 years before Pam and I could get married. So I have the idea what that's about. But anyway, Jacob agreed immediately without hesitation. Now, this is important. He accepted what Laban told him immediately. He did not hesitate. Now, we know the number 7 represents the time it takes to reach the stage of fullness in the world of phenomena. It is a time it takes for each of us in our own time and our own way to reach a stage in consciousness where we become comfortable, patient, understanding with what is going on in our life while we're working diligently towards attaining what we want to be experiencing. Okay, I don't want to go back through that whole first force, second force, third force. So those who remember that, I always said we always curse second force because that's the thing that we have to go through in order to get to third force, which is what we really want. All right. So Jacob was the 7 years represents second force for Jacob that he had to go through in order to get what he wanted, which was to be married to Rachel. But he did it willingly. Okay. So how many of us grumble about some aspect of our life, wishing it were better or different or over, you know? And again, let me just say that I can resonate with some of the struggles we may be going through that we say, but this is too hard to just accept as it is. But what we're working with is a divine principle that can hopefully soften some of the dynamics that we're experiencing in our lives, okay? So if we find ourselves being challenged by it, expressing that we do not want to go through what is before us or upon us, okay? Scripture explains that Jacob worked for Laban for 7 years so he could marry Rachel, but they seemed to him like just a few days because of the love he had for her, okay? Now, in the book, Mysteries of Genesis by Charles Fillmore, this is what we read. Says when unselfish love touches your heart, resistance drops out of your mind. Love in your heart lifts you out of the time limitations of sense consciousness into the joy of the eternal presence. When we forget ourselves in the service of love, the selflessness of God takes possession of our consciousness. Okay? Now, that is something we really have to think about. Okay? That when we are, and when we say when we're in the service of love, we're talking about the love of God, the love of the spirit of the universe that flows within us, constantly healing us. Okay? We're talking about a very high state of consciousness. We are thinking so much about being connected in this love consciousness of our interaction with spirit that time limitations just disappear. And that's what happened for Jacob, is the 7 years just went by. Okay. Now, as the story goes on, during the 7 years, Jacob grew rapidly in understanding and great possessions. So it's sort of like as he was going through this 7 year period, he was evolving. Why? Because he did not grumble about what he had to go through. The scripture is teaching us that grumbling or whatever it is that we're feeling around that idea interferes with the evolution of our consciousness. Okay? Anytime we are feeling upset about what's going on, even though it's justifiable, I guess I want to keep saying it, it's justifiable in the consciousness we're in. We just want to realize that what we are allowing ourselves to go through is interfering with the evolution of our consciousness. Grumbling makes it difficult for us to take a wife, meaning unite our feelings and emotions with our spiritual self. When we are bothered, upset about what's going on, it's because our spirit, our feelings and emotions are married to our personal self, our ego self, all right? And the ego will justify and make it righteous for us to continue to go through that. But when we connect ourselves to our feelings and emotions to our spiritual self, it loses, what we're struggling with loses its impact on us, all right? And again, our spiritual self is our I am. It is our Christ self, that within us which is created in the image and likeness of God. Okay, so Jacob, the mental phase of our mind, did not rebuke Laban's demands for 7 years of work. Laban symbolized for Jacob a clear understanding of what Jacob had to do to obtain what he desired. Okay, he understood that. So in Genesis 29, verses 21 through 30, we read where Jacob finished his 7 years. And then he said Jacob said to Laban, and this is what he said to him. He says, "Give me my wife that I may go to her, for my time is completed." So Laban gathered together, and let me stop for a minute here, because this is another one of those things that, you know, just reading scripture by itself, that might sound a little crazy. But Laban gathered together all of the men of the place and made a feast. But in the evening, he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob. And Jacob went into her, right? And in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And Jacob said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? Did I not serve with you for Rachel?" Now, first of all, as Pam said, how did he spend the night with Leah and not even know that was her? All right. So, you know, now we got to kind of get past that point. But anyway, he wakes up in the morning and says, "Oh, wait a minute, this is Leah, this is not Rachel." And so, you know, why did you do that? So why then did you deceive me, is what he said to Laban. So Laban said, it is not the way it's done in our country. In other words, it's not our custom to give the younger before the firstborn. So that's an important point to understand, that Leah was the oldest and Rachel was the youngest. Okay, he said to him, "Complete the week with Leah, and I will give you Rachel also in return for serving me another 7 years." So Jacob did so and completed the bridal week with Leah. Then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel to take as his wife. So Jacob went into Rachel also, and he loved Rachel more than Leah. And that's an important point. And he served Laban for another 7 years. Okay. So now let's try to understand all of this. Right? So our soul is comprised of the conscious mind, subconscious mind, and superconscious mind. The conscious mind is that aspect of our consciousness through which we establish our identity as it relates to the material world. Okay? It could be called the human soul. All right? So our conscious mind is connecting us with what is happening in the world. And we can call that our human soul. The superconscious mind is the enduring state of our consciousness that is grounded in an understanding and realization of spiritual truth. It could be called the spiritual soul. Now, symbolically in this story, Leia would represent the human soul that came first, and Rachel would represent the spiritual soul that came second. It's just like John the Baptist and Jesus were cousins, but John was born first, intellect, and then Jesus was born second, Christ. All right, it's sort of that same idea. So Jacob represents the mental side of us striving for higher consciousness. He worked for 7 years in Haran, an exalted state of consciousness, and accomplished fullness in the world of phenomena, this world, which proved he was worthy of Leia, human soul. Okay? So the work that he was doing was preparing him for a human soul. All right? Now, even though it was Rachel's spiritual soul that he was working for, this is telling us that we must achieve a sense of accomplishment in demonstrating the spiritual laws in our human life, elevating our appreciation for our human soul, Leia, before we can have a relationship with our spiritual soul, Rachel. All right? And this scripture ends with Jacob. Jacob's guy, he loved Rachel more than Leia. This means that as we evolve to higher states of consciousness, we will have a greater attraction for our spiritual consciousness than we will for our human consciousness. Whereas, you know, right now, if you think about it, we really have a greater attraction for our human consciousness, Leia, than we have for our spiritual consciousness, Rachel. So as we evolve, you know, the focus of our attention will change. We'll turn more to the east, Haran, the inner spiritual life, than do we do to the outer material life. That is what all of this work is for, all right? Is to get us to begin to turn to the east, turn to the inner spiritual life, all right? We must remember that Jacob fathered 12 sons, meaning 12 centers of consciousness. He was in a stage of preparation for this phase of his spiritual journey. We also are in a stage of spiritual preparation to awaken to the 12 spiritual centers within ourselves. It is the awakening to these 12 spiritual centers that will bring us into the realization of the Christ within. So this coming week, make an assessment of your life, especially those experiences and those relationships where you are grumbling. Begin to think how you could approach these experiences and those people in your life differently without grumbling, without being upset, so that the love in your heart can lift you out of the thought of how much longer do I have to go through this, and into the joy of just being eternally present in whatever and wherever you are. Okay? And this is when you'll be able to forget yourself and your reasons for being upset, because you are in the service of love, allowing the presence of God to take possession of your being, your life, and all of your affairs. God will do what only God can do when you can let go and let God be in charge of your life and affairs. And so it is. Amen. And now we will have meditation with Pamela.
Okay, Unity family, let's still ourselves. Straight backs, feet flat on the floor. And you may close your eyes if you wish. Let's take in three deep breaths. Breathe in and out. Breathe in Once again, deeply in and slowly out. Continue with your rhythmic breathing and let us acknowledge the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, active in our lives and affairs, our nation, and our world. And we decree our oneness with this power as we each have been made in the image and likeness of God. We are all God's children and heirs to God's heavenly kingdom. Take in another deep breath as you relax your neck and shoulders and allow yourself to become wrapped in the everlasting arms of pure love. I now invite you to take these words as your own. In the stillness of my soul, God reassures me that I am loved. No words are spoken, for they are not needed. God communicates with me in a language that is understood by my soul. The comfort of God satisfies the longing of my soul. This feeling of being loved and cherished stays with me throughout my day, my week, my lifetime. I am comforted, for I am loved. In faith, I ask God for strength. In love, God reassures me that unlimited strength is always with me. Any concern is replaced with the assurance of divine comfort. God is my source of everlasting peace. God is my source of everlasting peace. And now for the next few moments, let's be in the silence and enter into the secret place of the Most High. Use this time to pray, receive answers to your prayers, and to be still. I am thankful, Holy Spirit, that you have heard my prayers and you have answered them. I go forth this day knowing that your comfort satisfies the longing of my soul. And I am thankful in the name and nature of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is. Amen. Please take a moment to come back to your surroundings and know that the Unity Center of Light is always here for you.
All right. Thank you, hon. That was wonderful. So we are going to open our hearts and minds to allow some of the treasure that flows into our personal life to flow into our spiritual home. We always take a moment to say thank you for everyone who has been blessing us with your offerings and keeping Unity Center of Light moving forward in these very interesting times. So with that in mind, we ask you to hold your offering in your hand or in your mind, and let's say our offering blessing together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. And you have light notes?
Yes. Light Notes for today, May 23rd. Prosperity Plus 2 class is being offered at Unity by the Bay on May 26th through August the 4th. Please check your updates for information. The book club's next book is Begin Again by Eddie Gloud. They meet for discussion on June the 13th. And on June 20th, we'll be celebrating Father's Day with Summer Music Sunday. Safi and Ama Chandra will provide the wonderful music. Please plan on joining us. We invite all the fathers, dads, pops, pop-pops, and papas, all those who have mentored, fathered, and encouraged and advised us. We want to celebrate the coming of summer and fill our ears with sounds of love until our hearts overflow. So we hope to see you there. That's it for today on the Light Notes.
All right. So, now, you know what time it is, right?
I know what time it is. It's time to bless the path that we all will walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto together. I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful.
And we might as well go right to our next prayer for protection together.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine. And all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So, we wish everybody a very happy and successful week, but we look forward to seeing you right after this in our Zoom session. Again, if you're not quite sure how to get to the Zoom session, the link is in your e-newsletter and your weekly update.
Right.
So with that in mind, we wish you all a wonderful week, and we will see you soon.
Bye-bye.